Call meetings in order. Chris, would you like to lead us?
Sure.
Do we do the pledge first?
Can we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
President Grace. Vice President Dawson.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
We're open up with public comment, and if anyone has a comment on something that's not on the agenda, this is the time to do it. Any public comments? All right, public comments is closed. Rick, do we have any presentations tonight?
None this evening.
Okay. Director's comments. Any directors?
No. Can we go to the board report of director's comments?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, let's do that. I think I'll do that. Right. You go ahead if you want.
Okay.
That's right. Myself and Director Steele attended the first community center meeting yesterday, and I think it was a good start. A lot of good ideas. I think some fresh approaches, and the charter is to have a plan by the end of the year, and we'll keep you appraised of how that's going. And if you'd pass this down, the written report, I put your name on it also.
Okay. The Budget Committee met for its first time on April 13th. The purpose of the initial meeting was to discuss objectives, goals, and scheduling. At the start of the meeting, General Manager Rick Howard advised our committee members Christine Era, Galen Ziegler, and Mike McCleary of their Brown Act obligations and brought each of them up to date on what they needed to know in order to comply. The two-hour meeting was attended by all five members of the committee. The committee spent the majority of the time going over the current budget line by line. Our next meeting was scheduled for today, which we've had, and I will report it on the next meeting. We did quite a bit more today than we did at the first meeting. The first meeting was basically getting a feeling out period and getting to know each other. So we'll be meeting again. We're skipping next week?
May 4th.
Our next one will be May 4th, and I will report on today's meeting.
Thank you.
On April 11th, Rick Howard and I attended the Contra Costa chapter for the California Special Districts Association. They had a banquet. They had a 20-year anniversary banquet there. And their guest speaker on that night was our new district attorney, Mark Peterson. And we're able to meet the head of the CSDA. Rick, what was that guy's name we met?
Neil McCormick.
Right. So we were able to meet with Neil and talk about some of the legislation out there. And what I came out from that meeting was, these CSDAs, we do a lot in common with these different CSDs throughout our county here. We have a lot of similar business, may not be the exact type projects, but we have a lot of things in common. And United, it's really important that we get together on a regular basis and discuss laws and talk about transparency and how we can be more efficient with the funds out there. But the keynote speaker was Mark Peterson, district attorney, and he highlighted his efforts and his ambitions for the county. That guy's got a lot of experience. He's been a deputy DA for a long time, and I didn't realize the statistic, but Contra Costa County is number 3 in violent crime in the state. And I was shocked at that, and I didn't realize number 1's Kern County, number 2's Alameda County, number 3's Contra Costa County, and it's very focused on the western end of our county. But it was just it was an eye opener, and he's all about prevention and deterrence and working on the youth offenders and stuff to get those guys whip them in shape while they're young. But it was interesting, and it was a good conversation there. I've got some information on that, and I think it's important that we stay active in the CSDA and keep our dialogue open with the CSDs and the other groups in our county here. So, second thing, it was a LAFCO meeting on April 13th, and they were discussing the municipal service reviews for the police services, and they kind of tied into the DA's comments. But you know, our county spent $491 million on law enforcement. You know, this is general fund money, and that's a lot of money, and it was quite a statistic. They're working on reviewing that. You know, P6 is not just our neighborhood. I thought P6 was something very special and unique to Discovery Bay. It's not. P6, it touches a lot, majority of the county, unincorporated county. And right now they're working on doing a revenue review and how that's funded and how those funds are spent. I did come away with there knowing that Clayton, Oakley, and Brentwood have the highest solved crime rates. And so, you know, they catch these guys out here. We've got great detective work out here. And, you know, through a lot of, there's a lot of different groups involved on catching these guys. But the bad guys on the East County seem like they get caught. And anyway, kind of interesting. They call it a clearance rate. But this was a preliminary report, and it's pretty interesting. They're on a major budget crunch, and it's amazing how much you know, the impact's going to be on that. I mean, we see it here, but we're going to see it in our law enforcement soon. So what else can I say? I think that was the highlight. But anyway, I'll give you this report in a second. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Chris. I attended the April 7th Byron Union School District meeting. I'll try to keep this short. The overwhelming discussion between the board was the SRO, the officer David Elaine is the SRO over at Excelsior, and he started a archery program, has about 40 kids, and you know, a big help has come from the Lions Club on that. But it's been a very successful program on Wednesdays. It's called Project Straight Arrow. Besides that, there was a really long discussion about charter schools. A woman came, and her name, what was her name? I think I have it here somewhere. Anyway, she gave Stephanie Farland pretty much outlined what the charter school is, how they, you know, the different types of charter schools and how they come about and stuff like that. It was very informational but very long. There was an update on the Measure C. There's some funding shortfalls for the project, and the district may have to borrow some money to pay for them. The board approved the contract for $18,088 for a culvert at the new EMS entry, and the board approved a local plan for special education. The meeting adjourned at 10:45. I also attended the April 12th Discovery Bay Zone, P6 Zone Citizen Advisory Committee. The new sheriff was introduced, and it was really nice. Supervisor Pifo gave a really good introduction of the new sheriff, Scott Livingston. There wasn't much back and forth. He did share some information about the future of the deputy program and also the totals in the P6 Zone. The board went over correspondence, and the main thing there, once again, was the SRO, the school resource officer. The funding for that ends in June. So after June, if something is not done, the school will lose its school resource officer. There's a discussion in place about using some of the P6 money to help pay for that. And they created an ad hoc committee that has two members from the Byron Unified School District, two members of the Discovery Zone, the Discovery Bay P6 Citizen Advisory Committee, and one member from the Discovery Bay CSD. So, and the one I thought was interesting is that the new sheriff is switching us to black and whites. So as they're not going to repaint the old cars, but as new cars come onto the line, they will be black and white.
I guess that's before.
All right. So now we'll move to the consent calendar.
I will make a motion that we approve the consent calendar.
I'll second that.
All right. Can I go up? Dan, I go up.
Yep.
Any comments from the public? Seeing none, any comments from the board? To have the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing none. Passes unanimously.
4-0.
Thank you. New business and action items. number one, go to Rick.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President Dawson. Awkward to say with Kevin being gone tonight, but this item came before the board at the last meeting. Baron Perez presented it. It is an adoption resolution 2011-09, approving park rules and regulations in the reservation form and fees for the town Discovery Bay's owned and maintained parks. So that would be Ravenswood, Cornell, and the Top Lot. The fee schedule is attached. We made the recommended changes that the board discussed at the last meeting with respect to the policies and the park usage and rental policies. The fee structure stayed the same. So unless the board has any questions regarding any of those, it's essentially what was presented to you at the last meeting.
Any questions from the board?
I'd like to make a motion that we
open it up to public comment. Any comments from the public? Right now,
okay. I'd like to make a motion we approve resolution 2011-09.
I'll second that.
Any comments on the board? All right, hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? 4-0. All right, item two, Rick.
Dan Schroeder.
Or Dan? Okay.
This is Vice President, board members, good evening. As you'll recall, back on May 16th, I gave a review and a report on the current status of your bylaws using Robert's Rules of Order as its parliamentary rules, and I had suggested that the board consider placing those rules, which are very cumbersome and awkward, with something more streamlined that would be easier for the board and the public to understand and follow. And I provided a copy of those to you. They were called Rosenberg's Rules of Order. And at the March 16th meeting, the board had directed me to come back with a resolution to amend the bylaws to do that substitution. And that is part of the resolution, which would amend Article 8 of the bylaws and essentially just substitute the words Roberts with Rosenberg's. In addition, the board had given me direction to incorporate two other changes that were not mentioned in Rosenberg's Rules of Order. The first is in regards to requiring a second from a board member on any motion before it can be carried to a vote. So as part of the resolution, we are seeking an amendment to Article 6, Section A, which will add a new subsection, which is D, which will read, all motions made at board meetings shall require a second to the motion prior to directors voting. And then the third item was in regards to the ability of the president to unilaterally call for a brief recess. If you remember, Rosenberg's Rules of Order had that as a motion as well, which the board was of the mind that that seemed to be a little bit of overkill. So the article, the bylaws in Article 4, Section 3A1 will be amended to read as follows, that the president shall preside at all meetings of the board and such other meetings approved by the board and have authority to call for short recesses during meetings unless a majority of the directors by vote oppose the recess. So those are the changes that will be incorporated into the bylaws should this resolution be adopted. And one final note, your bylaws expressly require that any amendments to the bylaws be done by resolution. So with that, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions from the board?
Maybe in the change that the president can call a short meeting, just to be, it's a lawyerly thing, should it say, or his deputy, in the event that he's not there that meeting? As in the case of tonight?
That's a good point. That's covered actually in the powers of the vice president, that the vice president serves in the position of the president in his absence. So the vice president would automatically assume all of those abilities and authorities.
So that's important.
It's expressed, yes.
Any other questions from the board? All right, we'll open up to public comment. Any comments from the public? All Seeing none, we'll close public comment. Any board discussion?
No, but I'll make the motion.
All right.
I make a motion that we adopt resolution 2011-08, amending the Town of Discovery Bay CSD bylaws.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing none, passes 4-0. Now we'll move to number 3, Rick.
Thank you. This item is brought before the board subsequent to the P6 committee meeting that took place on April the 12th, I believe it was, that Director Dawson referred to a few moments ago. At that meeting, the P6 committee was addressed by members of the school board and the superintendent, and had requested that a subcommittee be formed a committee be formed consisting of two members of the P6 committee, two members of the school board, and one member of the CSD. It was a request that I take this item back to our board to ensure that this is something that our board would like to participate in. And currently, Directors Tetro is the primary to the P6 committee, and Director Dawson is the secondary representative on that committee. As you know, the reason for this committee's establishment is for determining funding, future funding for the ongoing school resources officer position at Excelsior. So they are in a very short time frame, and they would like to have input from our board this evening. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer.
Any questions from the board? Any open it up to public comment? Any comments from the public? Hearing none.
Well, I'd like to make a comment.
Okay, make it.
Because we need to address, since I know that Director Dawson has expressed interest in being on that subcommittee, and that's fine with me, so I would like to pass this with him being dropped to be on that committee.
Do we need a motion? Anyone like to?
Yeah, I'll make the motion. I make a motion we appoint Director Vice President Ryan Dawson to sit on the P6 committee.
Subcommittee.
I'm reading what it says right here. To address the future funding relative to the SRO.
Okay.
It's second. Shut up. Right there,
do we have a second?
I'll second that.
So now I just call for it. Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing none. Passes 4-0. All right. Delio report.
Gerald Smart is here this evening, and he will be presenting the yearly monthly report for the month of March.
Good evening, Vice President.
Awesome. How's it going, Joe?
Good. How about the rest of us? Gentlemen, what are we doing? You're fine, though. I just wanted to say that. I hope people get a chance to get around. Before I get started, in my operations report, the longer version of it, there is a correction there that I want to bring to your attention on page 1. The last paragraph, I discussed the mandatory minimum penalty date as being August 2009 through January 2011. That should be August 2010. For the month of March, we're talking about a couple of different things. One of the things I'm talking about tonight is a violation that occurred in a previous month. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in two different places. So it's in February, so it's not pertaining to March. So there are no wastewater permit limit violations that occurred in March. However, there was a violation that did occur on February 1, and the board, the Regional Water Quality Control Board, felt that was part of a group of total coliform 7-day calculated, 7-day median calculations, that part of that violation trend. And so they've asked that we respond in the March report as that being part of the January occurrence. There were no water violations that occurred, and there were no sanitary sewer overflow events. In operations, Lori Gabriel has passed her grade 3 water distribution exam. That's a good deal for us because that meets a contractual requirement for us. So job security there, Lori. And I think she passed it with like a 97.
Valedictorian.
Really good with that.
Nice.
Blaise Tatio has his grade 1. He just received that a couple of days ago. So as we move through the year, we're anticipating some additional grades and certifications. The UV 3000 system, which is the old Trojan UV system, was brought back online. And we had taken it offline, and we put all the flow through the new Trojan system, and we ran it for a while. But we started to see some periodic surges from the effluent. And so we made contact with Gregory Harris, who contacted with Telstar, and we're trying to modify that at this time, so we're not seeing that. But until then, we went back to a split flow mode. So we're operating both systems right now. There are the bypass valves. We've talked about this quite a bit. There is still a little bit of a leak problem there. Frank Kramer is kept in good contact with me, who's kind of the general over this project, and he's working with the vendors to Zurich to come up with a resolution to fix this, because that water is going back into the lagoon, and it's treated water, and we don't need that. We need to have those be able to seal very well. There were only two triggered samples. This is where the NTU goes above 10 in an hourly average period. Both of those occurred on the same day, and it was due to some starting and stopping of those effluent pumps. The system just doesn't like to be started and stopped. It likes a steady state. We have to start them to do some routine maintenance on it. So that's what had happened on those occasions. And to my knowledge, neither one of those have caused any total coliform violation. We had 19 call-outs. The call-outs were generally routine. There were probably, I think I recall there were 12 of those or so were for water, various leaks, turn-on, shut-offs, that sort of thing. We call Virgil Caney when we get these calls at night and ask him if he would like us to respond, and he generally says he'll take care of it, so we let him do that. We had no colored water calls for March. Lori's here. She's dressed to work. She is working. She's working at night. We've got her working here at night for the month of this month, and probably some of May as well. And she's going out with another member throughout the community and flushing the fire hydrants. And so far, we've only had the police be called on us a couple of times, so we're doing pretty good shape. We've treated 55 million gallons of wastewater. And I can talk a little bit more about the 7-day median. Again, I told you it was part of the January. But what was important about this notice of violation for February is that it also said that there were no UV data missing. And that was key, because that's one of the things that they're saying that was monitoring and reporting program violation. And we've had one every month for ever. And now that's the first time that hasn't occurred. So that's a big event for us. All the data's there. We shouldn't see those ever again. There was an annual operations report submitted. In collections, we cleaned 3,150 feet. As you know, there was also some major work done on Cherry Hills. I think you probably saw the picture in the newspaper that showed the pipe with the holes in it. I've seen that pipe, all of that pipe. There's lots of holes. It was a good thing. We were very lucky to get that changed, but it was a good partnership between Veolia and the town to get that identified, fixed. Water treatment plants, we collected 20 distribution samples throughout the month. All of them were coliform absent. Well 5 was taken offline about a month and a half ago. There was this green tint to the water, and we weren't sure what that was. We collected samples. We ran it through Ludolf and Scalmanini. They did some tests with it. We've collected additional samples. Can't find anything wrong with water. Looks great now. So we took some more coliform tests. They came back absent, presented that information to the Department of Public Health, and they said, go ahead and put it back online. So it is back online at this time. There were 54 million gallons of water supplied to the residents in March. We completed 239 preventive or corrective maintenance tasks for 125 hours. And the backlog that we've been trying to get down, actually, I think I heard today, was it 38?
36.
So we're still whittling that down and should be completed probably, I'd like to say, within the next week or so. Any questions on any of that?
I have a question. How do you treat more water than you supply? You treated 55 million gallons.
Well, it's 55. We treated 55 million gallons of wastewater,
right?
Which is the amount of water that's coming into the plant. And then, are you pointing out something I've made a mistake?
You treated 53 million gallons to the residents, which includes watering your lawn. I'm just curious.
Well, that's a good, I'll have to check into that, but that, unless I transpose those, but I believe those are the numbers that we pull off of WIMS, which is the record. But good point, and I'll check that out.
There could be other sources, inflow infiltration, metering differences.
Rain?
Yeah.
We did have some rain events that could influence inflow.
Do we have internet up and running? Did we ever resolve the...
I'm nodding my head, Gerald.
Hi, Def.
Yes, we did. We're still limited with our internet, as you know, as I mentioned it, I think, at the last meeting. Those heavy winds we had a few weeks back, when they went and realigned the antennas, they also noticed they had a very bad cable. They replaced a cable that improved the connectivity significantly. And as a matter of fact, I brought my laptop down to their facility and got better speed down there than I do here connected. So they're doing a little bit better than they were. The problem still exists when they come into SCADA through a remote location, through the back door, if you will. When they do that, we run our security video on the same network. And when they do that, it takes so much bandwidth, we have to drop the security system down. So as part of the upgrades in our capital budget that we talked about today, one of those components actually includes a parallel path for our security system, which would improve that significantly.
Any other questions from the board?
I actually just have one more slide, and I did this for Chris, because Chris, I don't know you very well either. I know you had mentioned you'd like to see some additional trending and so forth, so I brought this in. This is a form or a report that is brought in from the Water Information Management System that we developed. It's various variables that we use to track. This is a 12-month running, and you can't really see it very well. I guess, Rick, you're going to fix that.
I'm going to try and zoom in.
If I remember right, this started in March of 2011 and goes 12 months. So it's a 12-month running average, and you can see that in the first one it would be the influent flow. And you can just go down and see the way the flows change as we go. The second column, the effluent BOD removal, this is an average of the percent removal that we have. TSS, same thing. The effluent conductivity, you can see that. We collect two of those samples every month, so that is the average of those two. The effluent temperatures, you can see how they change throughout the 12-month period. Ammonia, you'll notice that and nitrate, and then you'll notice that the aluminum, copper, and iron are all in micrograms per liter, so it does look a little higher. There are a couple of outstanding looking numbers, what we might call outliers. They go from like a 40 to a 220 back down to 46. We've actually called the lab. They say that is what it is. So on occasion, you do just get a higher concentration. But remember, this is still in micrograms per liter, so it's a very small amount to begin with. Let's see, there is the effluent wet acute fathead minnow test. These are the bioassays that we do. This is where they collect samples of effluent, put little fish in there, and if they survive and reproduce, it's clean water. And we've had 100% survival. The effluent BOD shows all ones, which is good. TSS, you can see, does fluctuate, but we're usually somewhere the average, what is the average, 14.9? I can't see the column again. Yeah. And settable solids, it's an in-house test done, always less than or less than 0.1. That is what we report. The effluent pH is there, and also the calculation of the export pumps as well. And you never get you'll never get 2 meters to match up identical. So it's interesting. We've been taking writing down the totalizers from various mag meters and flow meters, and we're comparing them now, and they are some off. Some of them seem to be a little off, and we're dialing that in, because if there is anything that's more irritating, it's not having the right kind of data. So
it's calibration.
Just calibration, or could just be the difference of the type of meter, a mag meter versus a
partial
flume, or an eye that looks at the level, that sort of thing. But no trend charge yet. Maybe
that's pretty good, though. I can trend a little bit there, so
okay,
that helps. Thank you.
I was thinking of you.
I know.
Okay, and that's it.
Any questions from the board?
No, thank you very much. We missed you last month.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gerald. Any questions from the public before he leaves? Thank you, Gerald.
Now, Joe, you've kind of been with us since the bad times of Southwest Florida. You're going to be giving our reports, or you're going to be with us. I know you guys have changes in.
I probably will not be giving those reports. I don't know.
Will you still be involved with us?
I'm not going anywhere. You haven't gotten rid of me yet.
Yeah, fine.
I'll be involved with all of the things that I do now, plus become more and more involved with operational training. It's a position I'm taking is a APM. It's an assistant to the new project manager, and because the contract language was very specific, where it said that they needed someone to have a grade for a period of time in California, I have the grade, I just haven't had it in California for that period of time, so it really precluded me from being there. But to meet the contract requirement, we had to bring someone in, so we engaged that young man over there, Mr. Greg White.
I try to speak for everybody on the board. I mean, you came with us out of the dark ages of your predecessor, and I want you to know that we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We think you've done a great job, and I thank you, and I really speak for everybody.
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right. Are we doing the Cherry Hill
Brewery? Yes, sir. Okay. Cherry Hills sewer rehab project, phase one, if you will, the initial problem portion of the pipe has been removed and replaced and is fully back in service and back online. One of the things that we wanted to do while we were in there was to make sure that from the point where we added the new line on the west side, if you will, where the force main comes in from, there is some ductile iron pipe in there. It's about 150 foot length of pipe. It runs at an angle because of the force. It needs to be forced up. So it's below grade, and it comes up at an angle, so there's always some water in part of it. Where the water is underwater, it's not a problem. It's the problem comes when it starts forcing the gases in the sewage up into the line, and then we have the situation that we had with the pipe collapse and the pipe with the holes in it. So what we're doing right now is we are sending a camera down that section of line to the west, just to make sure. We believe that we are going to have to replace a portion of that, maybe 30 to 50 feet, not the whole length, because the rest of that's underwater, so to speak. It's always consumed by product, if you will. So it's in there. So we may be doing some more work out there. We won't know for sure until later in the week or early next week. The camera crew is going out tomorrow to video that, though. So that's it on Cherry Hills.
All right, general manager's report.
I just have two real quick items. The first one is on Saturday, Director Dawson was there with his family. I attended the Easter egg hunt, the Lions Club Easter egg hunt out at Cornell Park. And Sue of our office, as well as Farron and myself, were out selling tiles for the Cornell seat wall for the park project out there. And we sold a number of tiles. We still have a number more to go. And we're going to be selling more of them at the April 30th ribbon cutting of the splash pad at Ravenswood Park. But one of the things that we got on that came in last Friday, and Farron's not here, and she was going to share it with you, and I apologize. She had to cancel out at the last minute due to a family emergency. But if you recall, we had the poetry contest. Well, one of the schools, Timber Point Elementary, one of the teachers, first grade teacher, made it a class project, and every student wrote a poem, a colored poem, and it's absolutely wonderful, and we want to share them with the community and with the board, and we're thinking of taking those 20 or 25 poems and actually having them become part of the seat wall out of Cornell Park, even though this was a subject for Ravenswood, but it turned out really neat. We'll get those to you at a future meeting so you can see them all as well. We also have two other tile event sales. One will be here, I believe on May the 7th outside. We'll set up some tents. We have some volunteers coming to do it. May 4th, I don't remember. I apologize on the date. But May 7th, I believe, is a Saturday, and we're going to be needing your help to come and help us with tiles if you would like to volunteer with us out at Cornell Park to sell some tiles and to work with the kids out there in the community on that project. So I'll be sending out an email to you, or Farron will, later in the week on that one.
Can we give some flexibility lowering the price of the tiles a little bit to make it a little more affordable?
Yes, we've been discussing that. They're $25 each if you buy four of them. But they're $35, $35, $30, and then the fourth one's free. So
I think you've got a lot of single mothers, a lot of people of tough income.
We will be discussing that this week, I promise. And that's all I have.
Excuse me. District Legal Counsel report?
Nothing, sir.
Correspondence, as you can see, they're all on the agenda. Records requests received, future agenda items, anything from the board? Well, I have none, so I guess that will turn the meeting.
Fastest meeting ever.
Thank you for bearing with me tonight.
This is a record.
Yeah.
Tell Kevin to stay in Texas.
Tell Kevin, don't